Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Nun Aleph. We are holding on daf Nun Amid Beis. We are 2 lines from the end of the page. Last we're on line Gufa Amar Rav. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali and Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alei Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. And also by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef Ben Avraham, whose yard site is next week. The Neshama Shev and Aliyah, we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first of all, we're going to finish the discussion from yesterday. Yesterday we were talking about a husband's relationship with Nichsei Ishta, with his wife's Nechasim. Can he have a chazaka in those nechasim? Can he have a raya in those nechasim? So we're going to just very quickly finish up that discussion, and then the entire rest of the daf is going to be the reverse. What about a woman b'nichsei baila? Can she have a chazaka in the nichsei baila? Can she have a raya that she has purchased the nichsei baila? So the Gemara is going to discuss why it's a chiddush that a woman does not have a chazaka in her husband's nechasim, and why a raya does work, meaning after all, shouldn't the husband be able to say, I know that she has a shtar that says that I sold it to her, but it was just l'gliyazuzi who debai. I figured she was hiding money from me, and the best way to have her bring out the money and find where the money is by tricking her into thinking that I'm actually selling her my property, but I wasn't actually trying to sell, you know, like normal married people would, so I wasn't trying to actually sell her my property. So a lot of the daf is going to be about that svara of Legluye Zuze Hu Debai. The Gemara is then going to have a machlokas if a husband eats peros from karka that he had in fact sold to his wife, meaning assuming she is kona karka that he sold to her, does he get to continue to eat the peros of that karka? Then the Gemara is going to raise a stira whether a wife is actually kona a karka that she buys from her husband, and the Gemara is going to say, well, it depends where the money was. If it was hidden money, maybe she's not kona that karka because l'gluy is uzei udabai. But if it was money that was not hidden, then maybe she is kona that karka because there was no need l'gluye zuze. He already knew where the money was, and therefore it obviously was a serious kinyan. So again, the entire daf, except for the first couple of lines, is going to be about the relationship a wife has with her husband's nechasim. Does she have a chazaka? Does she have a kinyan? What kind of tainus can the husband have if she brings a raya? So that's going to be the majority of the daf. So let's again first finish off the discussion of the husband's relationship to the wife's property. So gufa, we had said yesterday, Amar Rav ein machzikin bin nichsei eishes ish, that someone else will not be able to have a chazaka in the nechasim of an eishes ish, because the whole premise of a chazaka is that the bailim will make a macha'a. So the woman is not expected to make a macha'a when someone is on her property, because she assumes, that's why I got married, so I won't have to deal with things like this. That's what my husband is for. V'dayanigola amru, and the Dayanigola, the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin identifies as Shmuel and Karna. So Shmuel and Karna, who are the Dayanigola, they said machzikin, that someone can develop a chazaka even in the chasm of Neshes Ish, and therefore she needs to make a macha'a because a person could develop such a chazaka. So I'm a Rav Halacha Kedayanigola. Rav says we paskin like the Dayanigola that machzikin b'nichsei Neshes Ish. So I'm really Rav Kanav Ravasi the Rav. Rav Kanav Ravasi said to Rav, Hadabe Mar Mishmaite, did you change your mind? Meaning you previously said Ein Machzikin B'nichsei Eishes Ish. So you're saying, meaning what did we just say? Gufa Amar Rav Ein Machzikin B'nichsei Eishes Ish. The Dayan Egola disagree, and Rav says, I agree with the Dayan Egola. What do you mean? That means you disagree with you. So what happened over here? Samalahu Mistavra Amri. Well, that when it's Mistaver, in a situation that it's Mistaver, that it is Machzikin B'nichsei Ish, that's when we pass on like Dayan Egola. That what in a case where it seems more Muchach that Machzikin B'nichsei Eishes Ish, then I would agree that Taka, yes, Machzikin B'nichsei Eishes Ish. But in a more typical case, ain machzikin b'nichsei eishes ish. What does it mean? What's a case that's mistavra that you can be machzikin b'nichsei eishes ish? Kid Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef said, that was what we learned in yesterday's daf, that if a person is a machzik in the field for some years when the husband is alive, and then 3 years after the husband dies, since amigo that he'd be neman to say that he bought the property from the wife, from the woman, because she wasn't an Eishes Ish for the last 3 years, so you could certainly develop a chazaka over that period of time, so he's neman to say that he purchased the field from the husband who himself had purchased it from the wife. So that's a case where it's muchach that a chazaka would help. But in a typical case, ain machzik minichzei eishes ish. So Rav said, I didn't change my mind. I just pointed out that there's some nuance to my view, that it really depends exactly on the case. The Rashbam points out that certainly Rav did not say that I hold like Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef was many generations after Rav. The Gemara is saying, the Rav said that in a case where it's muchach, and the Gemara is just speaking bekitzer and just saying, like the case Rav Yosef later formulated, but Rav thought of that as well, that would be the case where a third party could actually be machzik b'nichzei eishes ish. So period, that's the end of yesterday's discussion. So now we shift to the opposite. Can a woman have a chazaka in her husband's nechasim? So the Mishnah said, "V'lo li'isha b'nechse b'ayla," that a woman cannot have a chazaka in her husband's nechasim, that even if she eats the peros of that karka for 3 years and the husband doesn't say anything, that's not a raya that she has purchased that karka. Says Gemara, well, pshita, obviously it's not a raya. Kivin disla mizone, mizone hudukachla. After all, the husband is obligated to provide mizonos for his wife. So if he's obligated to provide mizonos for his wife, the fact that she's eaten from that karka for 3 years is just, it's obviously not an indication of anything as far as a sale. What, the husband's going to make a macha? What kind of macha can he make? He's obligated to provide her with the mizonos. So answers the Gemara, lo tzricha dichil ha'arachriti l'mizona. The case is, even if a husband had designated other land from which all the mizonos is going to come, and she develops a chazaka in some different piece of property that was not the designated property that was going to be for her mizonos, still she doesn't have a chazaka, because we assume that a husband's just not going to be makbid on his wife, even if she's overspending, right? Even if she's taking more mizonos than she technically actually needs. So yes, he has designated property A to provide her mizonos. Property A will give her all the mizonos she actually needs. She's for 3 years been enjoying the payros of property B. It's not a raya that she has purchased property B, it's just a raya that she enjoys a lot of mizonos, and that the husband doesn't want to start a fight over it. So that's why she does not have a chazaka. In Madura Basra, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mikruksha asked the question, why don't we say that the case is simply, we could have just given a different answer. I mean, we asked, of course she has no chazaka because she's entitled to mizonos. So of course it's not going to be a chazaka. So he says, there's a simple answer the Gemara could have given. There is a case where a woman doesn't get mizonos. If a woman foregoes the right to mizonos, a woman is allowed to say, eini mizonos v'eini osa. That I know that the chamor masakin that you have to provide me with mizonos, but that's in exchange for my ma'isi adayim. I'd rather keep my ma'isi adayim and you can keep your mizonos. And then there is no mizonos that goes from one direction to the other. So he suggests that even if she does say that, there's still a din mizonos. It's just that we can't force her to be mekabel the mizonos bal karcha, but whenever she wants, she can back out on that agreement of eni mizonos v'eni osa, and therefore the Gemara gives a better answer, that the chiddush over here is that yes, there's mizonos, and this is extra beyond the mizonos. Okay, that's as far as a chazaka that a woman has been say by the. What if she doesn't just have a chazaka? It's not just that she's been having the payros of this karka for 3 years. She pulls out a shtar that says that she has purchased this karka. So it says Gemara, Raya Yesh, the Mishnah implies that while she may not have a chazaka b'nechse baila, but if she has a raya, it's going to be good enough. If she has a shtar, she has edim that she has purchased the karka, then it is a binding sale. But isn't that problematic? Because after all, lema l'gliya zuzehu debai. Can't the husband say that, yes, I took money from from her and told her that she's getting this karka in return for this money. But she was not actually getting the karka in return for this money. This money is my money. The reason I told her she's getting this karka was because I wanted to find where this money was hidden, and the best way for me to get it from her was to trick her into thinking that she's buying the karka, so she's going to take out the money and then I'll be able to have the money. So Gemara says, since it's mashma from the Mishnah that the husband cannot say such a taina, haraya yesh, if she has edim, if she has a shtar, then Shitaka does become the owner of the karka. So you see, our Mishnah is therefore a raya that we don't apply such a svara, that we do not say we do not assume that that the husband has a taina that he wasn't being serious when he sold the land and it was just Tosus raises the question that a woman is not menaced to say about money that she has that it's shala, that it's her money. So what are we saying over here? That he wants to be megala where the money is hidden. Even if he's megala where the money is hidden, she's not menaced to say it's my money. There's a halacha like that. She's not menaced to say that it's my money. So Tosus writes in Dibra Maschil Beram on Amud Beis. Tosus writes that that's exactly the point. Meaning that's why the husband's not able to get money from his wife, even though she's in possession of the money, because she'll always be neman to say that it's her money. You know when that changes? When she loses that ne'amanus, as soon as he's toe-faced the money. As soon as he has the money in his hand, now she doesn't have the ne'amanus to say, oh yeah, but the whole time it was my money. So he's just trying to flip the script, meaning he's trying to get that money into his hand so that he has a tfis on it, and once he has a tfis on it, she knows no longer ne'amanus to say it was her money. So that's the svara of L'Gli Yezuzi Yudabai. But bottom line is, our Gemara is trying to say that from the fact that the Mishnah says that a woman cannot have a chazaka, the implication is that she can have a raya. If she can have a raya, then it means we reject the svara of the gliya zuzehu dabai. So says Mar Lo, you don't have to say that that we reject the svara of the gliya zuzehu dabai. We don't have to say that she could have a raya. Ema haraya yesh b'shtar matana. Maybe the only time she can have a raya is when she doesn't have a shtar mecher from her husband. If she has a shtar mecher from her husband, ena chinami. The husband could just say, I just wanted her to show me where the money is, but I didn't intend to sell her the property. But if she has a shtar matana from her husband, then what svara is the husband gonna say? Obviously, he really gave it to her as a matana, and that would taka be a strong enough raya that the property belongs to her. Tosos points out that the Gemara also could have said that that the Mishnah is talking about where ein li'isha chazaka b'nechse baila by a shtar hoda'a, meaning it didn't have to be a shtar matana, it could have been a shtar hoda'a, that the husband writes in the shtar that he's moda that this karka belongs to her, because the husband can't taina that he just wanted to be megal of the money, because in a shtar hoda'a there's also no money. But I guess a shtar matana is a more common thing than a shtar hoda'a, but it's all the same, meaning the point is that haraya yesh, as long as the shtar is a shtar that does not indicate that she ever had to give him any money. If the shtar indicates that she had to give him money for this karka, then the gluy is uzehu dabai. So now Amrle Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman says Rav Huna lo hava mar gaban bu'ur to b'tchuma. You know, you really missed out yesterday in the tchum. So the tchum is the Rashbam says is the base medrash. Why is the base medrash called the tchum? So the Rashbam writes because apparently they used to build their bate medrash right at the edge of tchum Shabbos, because they wanted that neighboring towns should also be able to use the same base medrash. So on Shabbos is a time of learning Torah, so everyone would come. People are off from work, so everyone would come and learn all day. What else you can do on Shabbos? So people come and learn Torah. So they want everyone to have access to the base medrash. They couldn't afford to build so many bate medrash, so they would build it at the Sof Tchum Shabbos, so people would come. So B'tchum is just another way of saying base medrash. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Huna, ah, you missed it in the base medrash. Darmin and Mili Mal Yisa. We were saying such gevaldika chidushim in the base medrash. So Amalei Rav Huna said, my Mili Mal Yisa. He said, no, tell me, what are the Mili Mal Yisa that you were saying in the base medrash? Right, there's a fulfillment of Vidibartabam. These were just conversations. They happened to see each other. Ah, you missed yesterday. So what were they talking? They just wanted to talk and learning. It's Rashi in this week's parsha that your Ikr Dibur, when you schmooze with people, should be talking in learning. Right? You walk around at a simcha, at a vart, at a whatever, and you listen to people's conversations. They're all talking and learning, right? Because that's what a Jew is supposed to do. They're always supposed to be talking and learning. So my mili ma'al yisa amrisu. What are the mili ma'al yisa that they said? So he said, they said that mocher sadu li ishto kansa v'lomri l'gluy zuzu d'bayi. What they said in the base medrash is that if a man sells a field to his wife, she's kona the field, and the husband cannot claim, I was just trying to get her to expose where the money is, to find where the hidden money is. No, you meant it. If you sold the field to your wife, it's sold, it belongs to her. Samarlei, Rav Huna says back to Rav Nachman, well, Pshita, obviously she's kona, because in our minhag is that we write a shtar on everything. So dal zuzi mehacha, leave the money aside as far as the form of kinyan to be kona the karka. V'tikna b'shtara, she's kona just with the shtar mecher alone. So milo tanan, after all, don't we have a famous mishnah in Kiddushin Chavav that l'chasum sheish le'nachray is niklin bekesef b'shtar u'bechazaka, that whenever you want to purchase karka, whenever you want to acquire karka, there are three ways to acquire karka, either by giving money, or by writing a shtar, or by doing some maisa that shows bailus on the karka. So you see that shtar, even without money, is kona. So what exactly is the chiddush of Rav Nachman that the woman is kona the karka? Meaning if we have a practice that we always write a shtar mecher on the karka, so forget about money. Even if there was no money here, there's a shtar mecher, and that's where the kinyan happens. So meaning if the svar of Lugliya Zuzayu Dabayu was true, there wouldn't be a shtar, it would just be money. I mean, the whole point was he wanted the money, so you'll do a kinyan with the money, and I'll have the money. But the fact that we write a shtar makes it evident that the kinyan is chal. So Tosus writes, okay, but what about a place where they don't write a shtar? Yeah, but in the Makom of Rav Nachman Rav Huna, they're knowing to write a shtar in every mechira. Tosus says that the Gemara could have answered that even in a place where they write a shtar, you still need the din of Rav Nachman in a situation where she says, im erza ekna b'shtar v'im erza ekna b'kesef. That the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about what if you do both forms of kinyanim, and she says, if I want, let the shtar be the valid form of kinyan, and if I want, let the kesef be the valid form of kinyan. Where in such a case, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that she's kona b'kesef even without writing a shtar. So that's where the chiddush of Nachman is, that we don't assume that she that he just wants to be megal of the money. We assume that she gave him the money, and he was kona even if he didn't write a shtar. So the point is over here that you're writing a shtar anyway. So if you're writing a shtar, of course she's going to be kona, because a kinyan with a shtar without any money is good enough. So Rav Nachman rejects Rav Huna's raya, and he explains, no, there's a chiddush over here. So Amar Lei, v'lav itmar Allah, Amar Shmuel lo shanu el b'shtar matana. When do we say that you could be kona karka with just a shtar? That's if it's a shtar matana, that you give the karka from one party to the other through a shtar. Aval b'shtar mecher, but if it's a shtar mecher, lo kana achitin lo demeha. If a shtar mecher is used not as a form of kinyan, a shtar mecher is used as a raya that the money changed hands. So when you have a shtar mecher, you could still say the gluye zuzehu debayi. Meaning there are two types of shtaros. This is the fundamental chiluk between two types of shtaros. There's what's called a shtar kinyan, and there's what's called a shtar raya. So yes, there's such a thing as a shtar kinyan. The shtar kinyan means that the function of the shtar is not to prove anything, but it's to actually make the sale work. It's to make the kinyan. So that's the kind of shtar that we would write. But if you have a shtar mecher, is not a shtar kinyan, it's a shtar raya. The sale happened with chazaka. The sale happened with kesef. The sale happened with some other form of kinyan. But what's going to be there to prove that the sale happened? So we write it up. We write a document as a raya that the sale happened, right? Classic form of shtar kinyan would be, let's say, a get, right? A get is not fundamentally a raya that a woman is divorced. It could later serve as a raya, even though nowadays the Beis Din holds on to the get. They write her something else as a raya. They write, the Beis Din will give her a certificate or something that's a raya that certifies that she's divorced. But the get fundamentally functions as a shtar kinyan. She's kona es atzma by the receiving of the get. If right after she receives the get gets torn to pieces, she's still divorced because there was a shtar kinyan. Whereas shtar raya is a normal shtar that we would write that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. So you write a shtar that Reuven owes Shimon the money. That's a shtar raya. So over here, these are two totally different shtaros. So now Rav Huna goes and asks and fires back at Rav Nachman. V'lav Mosif Rav Hamnuna. But wait, didn't Rav Hamnuna ask on Shmuel Meaning, you're telling me that Shmuel says that that the idea that you could be kona karka with just a shtar is only true of a shtar matana, but it's not true of a shtar mecher. But didn't Rav Amnuna already ask on Shmuel from the Braisa where it says bishtar ketzad? How do you do a kinyan with a shtar? Kosovlo ala niyar o ala cheres. You write on a piece of paper, piece of parchment, or a piece of pottery. Afal pisha in bo shavar pruta, even though the parchment or the pottery itself is not even worth a shavar pruta, and you write sadai. I am hereby selling my field to you. Sadai nesunalach. I am hereby giving my field to you. Harezu mechura nesuna. So it sounds like it's a valid mechira or a valid matana. So the implication over here is that a shtar mecher works even without giving money. Unlike the shita of Shmuel, that a shtar mecher is not kona, and really only the money is going to be kona. So I'm back to my taina that it's a pashut din that the woman is kona the karka with the shtar that she has, even if there was no money. So forget about the money. Dal zuzi mehacha, leave the money aside. She's kona with the shtar itself, because you see that even a shtar even a shtar that says sadei mechuralach is a valid form of kinyan. The idea that you write on a piece of cheres, Tosfos is a little bit bothered. You're going to write a shtar on a piece of cheres. A piece of cheres is nitan leziyuf. It's very easy to erase whatever's written on cheres and write something else in its place. So Tosfos says, yeah, this brisa, this Rav Hamnuna must be assuming, or this brisa that he's quoting must be assuming, like the sheet of Rav Blaza, that edi mesira karti. Meaning, if you in a chinami you held edi chasima karti, and that the shtar has to be has to serve as the real raya of what happened over here, as the real the force of what happened over here. So then in a chinami, the shtar would have to be something that tzi efshel is dayef. But if you hold like Reb Loza, that really the edim mesira are what's critical. So as long as the edim saw what was written in the shtar at the time of the giving of the shtar, even though later you could change whatever words, as long as you have those edim to go back to, so then it's going to be a valid kinyan. Tosus then writes, or it could be that it was written b'ksav yado without any chasimas edim, because a shtar that's written b'ksav yado, you don't even need edim to sign, and that you're not going to be able to erase and put other things in there, because it was b'ksav yado, you're not going to be able to replicate ksav yado. Or the Rashba says that maybe when we're talking about writing on a piece of cheres, we're talking about that you engrave on the cheres. That's not yachol ezdayef. If you're chokek on the cheres, you're not going to be able to. So a piece of cheres, if you write with ink, in a chinami, is yachol ezdayef. So that's how the Rishonim deal with the fact that how do you make that the Brisa just gives an example of a shtar being written on a piece of cheres, when a piece of cheres l'chora is very easy to forge. Tos raises another question. We said that you write on a piece of cheres or a piece of paper that even though the cheres of the paper is not worth a shavar pruta. So Tos raises the question, by a shtar mechira, it's a davar pashut that it works even if it's not worth a shavar pruta, because even if it were worth a shavar pruta, it's not working midin kesef, because the mocher is the one that's giving it to the kona. Meaning the shtar is going in the opposite direction. You know, by a shtar kiddushin, where the husband is the one giving it to the wife, so then it's a chiddush to say that even though the shtar is not worth a shavar pruta, because the husband has three options in how to be mekadesh nisha, two of which are giving her shava kesef, or giving her a shtar. So it's going in the same direction. So it makes sense that you would have had a havamina that the shtar needs to be worth a shavar pruta. But what would be the havamina by a shtar mecher? By a shtar mecher, it's going in the opposite direction. When you're being kona something with kesef, it's the kona giving the money to the lokeach. But when you're kona something with a shtar, it's the mocher giving the shtar to the kesef, the lokeach is giving to the mocher. When it's a shtar, it's the mocher giving to the lokeach. So Tosfos suggests, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin Daf Tes Amud Aleph suggests that since it says the lashon of nesina in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where he talks about a shtar, he says achrititi as sefer hamikne. So b'derech klal nesina always means something that's worth the shavar pruta. That's the havamina. It's not just like the lokeach gives the mocher kesef, so too the shtar that he gives must be worth shavar pruta as well. That wouldn't make any sense because the shtar goes in the other direction. No. So the havamina that it's got to be worth a shavar pruta is because the lashon of nesina is employed by the pasuk. So if the pasuk is employing the lashon of nesina, that implies that you're giving something of actual value. The Ramban writes that even by a shtar mechira, the mocher gives the shtar to the kona, by you. That's true. But nevertheless, there's a tzad to say that it needs to be yeshava pruta, and you're covenant with the hana'a that the mocher has from the lokeach receiving the shtar. Meaning the Gemara in Kiddushin has such a possibility that you could be mekadesh and isha by, if a man is an adam chashuv, he could be mekadesh and isha by the isha giving something to him. And she gets such hana'a from the fact that he graciously received her gift because he's an adam chashuv, that's considered that he's kona her. So you can have it in the, you see that there is such a svara that even when I'm giving something to you, that what you're giving to me is the hana'a that you accepted it, and therefore it's considered to be that it's going in that direction. That's what the Ramban suggests the Havamina might be. But be that as it may, Rav Huna is asking Rav Nachman, don't you see that the shtar works? You see, without any money, the shtar works, and therefore I'm back to my taina. It's pashut that when a woman buys her husband's property, that she's kona that property, because if you leave aside the money, the shtar works. So answer the Gemara two answers. Number one, v'lavu mosav lavu mefarikla. Rav Nun himself, who asked on Shmuel, was metarit the kasha that he asked on Shmuel, that which says in the Brisa that shtar mecher works without any money, that's b'mocher sadeh m'pnei ra'asa. That's when a person is selling a field because it's awful and he's trying to unload it, he's trying to get it off his hands. So then we assume, as soon as they write a shtar, he has full das to be makanin and he'll figure out how to get the money from the lokeach later on. But he really just wants this kinyan to go through. But in a normal case where it's not a lousy property, we assume that with the shtar alone, he does not intend to be makne. He only intends to be makne once he actually receives the money. Another possibility, Ravashi Amar, depends whether you have the gear over here, but Ravashi Amar, another possibility, this brisa that says that the shtar alone is kona is not talking about a shtar mecher. Shtar mecher does not work until the money is given over. That which it says, Sadai Mechurilach, Sadai Nesunilach, is not talking about two examples, two cases. One case where he's selling, another case where he's giving. No, it's all one case. The case is it's a matana. B'matana b'kesh litnalo. The guy was giving it as a matana. And he says both Lashonos. In this one case, I'm giving you as a matana, and here's what I'm writing to you. Sadeh mechurulach, sadeh nesunulach. Why would he write sadeh mechurulach if it's a matana? V'lama kasav lo b'lashon mecher, kedeh liapos kocho, in order to give the makabel an extra benefit, that if Bali Chov of the person who's giving the matana want to ever come collect this karka, so the nosein is going to give the value of the karka as if the guy had purchased the karka from him and not just received it as a matana. So I'm giving you a matana with the most ayin yafa I possibly can. How do I do that? I write sadeh mechurulach. But einochinami, if it were actually a mechira, then the shtar wouldn't do it, right? Meaning if it were actually a mechira, you would need the money. It's only because it's a matana that the shtar itself works. So ask the Gemara on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman again said that someone who sells a field to his wife, the woman is kona it, and the guy cannot taina l'gli zuzi the bayel, just trying to uncover money. So meisvei, but we have a brisa, love him in an eved. If a person borrows money from his own eved kanani, and he writes a shtar halva'a, and he's meshabed his nechasim to this eved, v'shichro, and then he's meshachro the eved, or mina'isha, he borrows money from his wife, v'girsha, and then later on he divorces the wife, ein lahen alav klum. The eved, the isha, the ex-wife, have no taina on him. They're not going to be able to get money from him. My taima, lav mishum damrin l'gli zuzi udbay. Why can't they get money from him? Because at the time that this loan happened, that he borrowed this money, there was still a connection. There was still tachas yado. So it's likely he was just trying to find where the money was. So therefore, we don't assume that it was an actual loan. We assume he was just trying to find where his money was. So he just wanted to know where the money was. So he went through this ruse, this charade of a halva'a. Tosas raises the question, why does the Brice have to say that they later got divorced, or he was later meshachrer, in such a case, you know, it's a davar pashut, that even if they're odem bereshuso, meaning you would think for sure in a case where they're odem bereshuso, where they're still married, so you could say l'gli uzuzi hudubai, meaning if the whole svar is l'gli uzuzi hudubai, so why does what happened later that after the loan, they got divorced, or after the loan. Why does that matter at all? Meaning the point is, and for sure if they're still married, it's Luglius who's the Bais. So it also suggests that if he would not have said that if he's Meshachar the Eved or Megarish the Isha, that the Baal doesn't owe them any money, I would have thought that when he's Meshachar the Eved or Megarish the Isha, the Adon or the Baal are Mechuyiv to the Eved or to the former Eved or the former Isha or the former wife, because the ex-wife, because at that point they have a gemiras das to be makna the money to them, meaning enochinami, that when I borrow money from my wife, when I borrow money from my eved, that's just l'glizuzi d'bay. But then if that relationship ends and there's still this outstanding loan, so it must be that I have I might have thought that I have a kavana at that moment that now it's a real loan, now it's no longer l'glizuzi d'bay. So that's what the price is being mechadish, that that's not the case. It happens to be the Raman, Shulchan Aruch, and Ebenezer writes about this din. It quotes the din the way it appears in the Brisa. If they get divorced, and then the Raman writes, and Kal v'chomer if they don't get divorced, meaning the Enochinami. Bottom line is, of course. And if they don't get divorced, then of course you can say L'Gliyazuzi Dubai. Even if they get divorced, you say L'Gliyazuzi Dubai. But bottom line is, this is a kasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said that if you sell a property to your wife, it's a sale, it's binding, the husband cannot claim, I didn't mean it, you did mean it, but over here you have in the Braisa that when you borrow money from your wife, you could say, I didn't mean it, that it's only the Gliyazuzi Yudabai. There's a difference between borrowing money from your wife and selling something for your wife. A husband would never want to be a slave to his wife, nor an Adon would ever want to be a slave to his own Eved. And therefore, if you're borrowing money from them, there's no way you would, that's the last person on earth you would borrow money from, and therefore it's muchach that it was only l'gliya zuzi d'bay. But a sale, I don't know, I would sell something to my wife, I would sell something to my eved, so that we don't say the svar of l'gliya zuzi d'bay. So the Gemara says shalach rei Rav Huna bar Avin hamocher sadal ishto, if a guy sells a field to his wife, Kansa, she is kona the field. Ubalo chal peros. It's just that the husband can continue to eat the peros of that field, just like any other nichsei malug that belongs to his wife. I mean, just like at the beginning of marriage, the wife had nichsei malug, and throughout the marriage, he eats the peros of that nichsei malug. So if he had a property that now 10 years into marriage, he sold to her, it becomes her nichsei malug, so he can eat the peros of that nichsei malug. Ram, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avo, called Gedolei Ador Amru, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avo, and all the other Gedolei Ador said that the husband does not eat the peros, because even though he wrote her Shtar Mecher, b'matana bikesh litnala, we assume that he's really giving her that karka as a matana, and the husband does not eat the peros from a matana that he gives to his wife. If he was giving it to her as a matana, v'lama kasav la l'shum mecher, why did he write in the shtar that it's a mecher? K'dei liapos hiskocha. He's just trying to improve her position in that karka, that if they ever take away that karka from her, he's going to have to reimburse her. But really, it was a matana, was not a mecher. So they ask Rav Huna bar Avin. I mean, Rav Huna bar Avin holds that we do not say the svar of l'gluyezuzei. How can you say that we don't say the svar of l'gluya zuzei? Didn't we just learn love him and eved v'shichrom and isha v'girsha ein len alav klum, that if a guy borrows money from his wife and then gets divorced, or he borrows money from his eved and then he frees the eved, he does not owe that money my time, or why doesn't he owe the money lav mishum dami l'gluya zuzei d'bay? I mean, the same question we just asked, you know, a few lines ago, but now we're asking it on Rav Huna bar Avin, because Rav Huna bar Avin just again taught us this din that we don't say l'gluya zuzei d'bay. But don't you see, we have a price for that? Yes, we do. So says Gemara, the same answer. That we don't say when you're selling something. But if you're borrowing from your wife, you're borrowing from an Eved, that's the last person on earth you would ever borrow from. And therefore we do say now on this topic of if a guy sells property to his wife, assuming the sale is binding, what's his relationship with the payros from that property? So the Gemara comments, Amarav, Hamocher Sadalishto, Kansa, it's a binding sale. We don't say l'gluyazuzi d'bay. If he sells a field to his wife, it's a sale. Balo chal peros, but he can continue to eat the peros like any other nichsei maluk. B'matana, if he gives his wife the field as a matana, kansa, again, she's for sure kona, then it's not even subject to a machlokas that she's kona, because you're not going to say l'gluyazuzi d'bay when there's no money, right? It's all just a matana. But the husband does not eat the peros when he gave her the field as a matana. Why? Because we assume when he's giving a matana, the Rashbam writes, Hanosein ba'ayin yafa hunosein. When a person gives a matana, he's giving in the most generous way possible, and therefore we assume his kavana is to give it to her 100% fully. Tosfos writes that even though the husband does not eat the peros from the karka that he gives to his wife as a matana, if the woman sells that karka or gives that karka to somebody else, that sale is not binding. Meaning, nosein ba'ayin yafu nosein to a degree. Ba'ayin yafu nosein is that when I give you, when a man gives his wife this karka as a matana, he wants her to enjoy it to the fullest. But not that he wants her to have the ability to transfer ownership to somebody else, that she's going to turn around to her friend and say, here, you could have this karka. No, that he's not giving her the rights to do. He's only giving her the rights to enjoy even the peros of the karka. So that's what the Bali Atosa say, that's what the Rashba writes as well. The Yad Rama disagrees. He says, no, nosin ba'in yafu nosin means that it's hers. That it's hers means there's no strings attached, which means if she wants to go and sell it to somebody else, give it to somebody else, that's her prerogative. She's allowed to do that. But that's the shita of Rav, that if you sell a field to your wife, the sale is binding, you could continue to eat the peros like any other nechseh malug, you give a field to your wife and it's hers, and you're not allowed to eat the peros. For Blazer Amar, echot zeh ve'echot zeh, kansa ve'ena ba'lochel peros. Even when you sell a field to your wife, you do not get to eat the peros in nechseh malug, not only when you buy a field, even when you give a field to your wife, even when you sell the field to your wife, you cannot eat the nechseh malug. So Avir Rav Chista Uvduk Rav Blazer, Rav Chista paskind halacha l'maisa, like Rav Blazer, a guy had sold the field to his wife, and he said, sorry, sir, you're no longer allowed to eat the peros. So Amalei, Rabban Ukva, Rabban Nechemya, Ben Binte, to Rav, the Rav Chista, they said to Rav Chista, why would you paskin like Rav Blazer against Rav? Shavuk mar Rav Raviv, Alvi Kazutri, you're abandoning the Gedolim, and you're doing like people who are lesser, meaning Rav was a much greater Gadol than Rav Blazer. Rav Blazer was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, who was after Rav, so we're assuming you read the Sadoros, so you should paskin like Rav. You think I don't have Gedolim in my corner? The Chiyasa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was a Bar Plukta of Rav. He was on the same Madrega as Rav. That Echazeh Vechazeh Konsovein Abalochel Peros. That Rabbi Yochanan, you know, Rabbi Lazar is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. There's a place where Rabbi Lazar got it from. Rabbi Lazar got it from his Rebbe. So I'm not passing like Rabbi Lazar alone. I'm passing really like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so how do we paskin? Amarava hilchsa mocher sadal ishto. Halacha is, if a man sells a field to his wife, lo kansa, she is not kona the field, vabalo chalperos, and the husband eats the peros from that field. B'matana, if he gives his wife a matana, kansa, she is kona the field, meaning, why would she not be kona the field if you give it to her as a mecher? Because apparently we do say the svara of l'gluy ezuzeh hu dabai, that he wasn't a real mecher, he was just trying to find the money. But b'matana, if he gives her the field as a matana, kansa, she is kona, because there's no l'gluy ezuzeh hu dabai, he was just giving it to her, vena balo chalperos, and the husband does not eat the peros. Says, well, wait, tarti? But within the first half, there was just stira over there, because he said, mocha sadalishto lo kansa. Lo kansa sounds like, and therefore she is not the owner of this field at all. He was just l'glizuzi dabai, he was just trying to find the money. And then he say, va balo chalperos. And the husband eats the peros. It's his field. Of course he eats the peros. Meaning, vabalo chalperos implies that there was a kinyan. So which is it? Was there a kinyan or wasn't there a kinyan? So says Mar Lokash, it's not a stira mineu bay within one sentence that Rava says. Kan b'mos t'munin, kan b'mos shein t'munin. When Rava says that lo kansa, that's talking about where there was hidden money that the husband was unaware of, did not know about, and therefore the husband says, it can come with a taina that I suspected that there was hidden money over here, so I pretended to sell her this field in order to find that hidden money. But when Rava says that the Baal is Ochel Peros, which implies that she actually owns the karka, that's b'mos shein t'munin. That's where there was money that that they all knew about, and he didn't need to sell her the field in order to be megala where the money is, because everyone knew about this money. Dam Rav Yehuda, because after all, Rav Yehuda said that if a woman pays for a field with ma'us t'munin, with money that was previously hidden, lo kansa, she is not kona the field. Ma'us she'enin Tmunin, but if she paid for the field with money that was not previously hidden, then Kansa, then she is Kohen of the field. In the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer, the Beis Shmuel says that it's a Machlokes Rishonim. What is Ma'u Sheinim Tmunim? How do we define Ma'u Sheinim Tmunim? So he points out that Tosus of here sounds like that if he knew that she had money, even though he didn't know where she got the money from, that has a din of Ma'us Galuyim. Ma'us Galuyim, he knows that there's money there. That's not Ma'us Tmunim. Whereas Mukhe Yosef says, no, Ma'us Galuyim means that he knows the history of that money, where that money came from. That's Dafka when you know that someone gave her money, Al Menashe in Lebaile Roshuspa, or something like that. That would be Ma'us Galuyim, but otherwise it would be considered Ma'us Tmunim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots on the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.